What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. On a Wednesday on B&E, we're going to drag you up over the hump. Look forward into divisional weekend in the NFL. We'll look back at a disappointing night at the Irwin Center for the Texas Longhorns, one that got away. Tough loss for Texas last night, stumbling to 3-3 in Big 12 play. We'll certainly dive in there. Here from Chris Beard. Busy night of basketball in the Big 12. Games all over the conference and all over the country. We'll talk plenty of college hoops, college football as well. There's developing news concerning the Texas Longhorns. Gary Patterson in attendance last night at the basketball game. Although there's been no official word from the university, looks like he is in place as a new special assistant to Steve Sarkisian. We'll dive in there. And Buck, we start this morning, by the way, good morning to everybody out there, however you're finding us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming always live, local, and digitally on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Good morning, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to you. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. And to all you folks out there, over the next 48 hours or so, it's going to get a little slick and slippery around here and cold. So I batten down the hatches as I get ready to leave tomorrow to go to Pennsylvania. Who knows what that's going to be like, leaving it early in the morning. But before midnight, it's supposed to get kind of nasty out. Sleet, possibly.
Yeah, a little light wintry mix, potentially. And,
if I can get out of here, I'm going to Chicago. They know how to deal. Chicago and those places deal with this all the time.
63 degrees right now. This time tomorrow morning.
But it will be 70, high of possibly 77 to 78 degrees today.
Ahead of the cold air, the Arctic blast that's coming, it's going to be almost 80 degrees today. Tomorrow morning at this time could be about 30 degrees, mm-hmm. and there could be a light wintry mix. So be advised of that. That's about a day of kind of that cold, misty condition could turn. Then there'll be two hard freezes.
Yeah, this time of
Friday
morning,
and Saturday.
It could be nasty.
About temperatures in the teens potentially into the weekend. So enjoy today and get ready for a couple 3 days of wintry weather. Also, Buck, before we get to the headlines, just saw some sad news this morning that our friend Mike Barnes, a longtime KVU sports broadcaster and, of course, sports director over at KVU for a long, long time, Mike, a good friend, he tweeted last night that and revealed the loss of Ron Franklin. Ron Franklin has passed away at the age of 79. We send our prayers into his family and rest in peace to Ron, a legendary voice of sports here in the state of Texas, and then almost 25 years at ESPN calling college football games and basketball games. And we started down in Houston as a mm-hmm. local sportscaster.
Settled here.
As a youngster in Houston, I grew up watching Ron Franklin. He also called games for the Houston Oilers during the Love You Blue days, and then back to Austin in 83 where he was the voice of the Longhorns. For several years ahead of his, as I say, almost 25-year career at ESPN, the voice of Ron Franklin will be missed. Will be missed.
Absolutely.
He was on this show many, many times, and sad news. Hated to hear that at 79 years old. But not only revealed by Mike Barnes, but then confirmed by Fran Fraschilla on a tweet as well. Fran, of course, worked college basketball games with Ron at ESPN while he was there. So
Ron did a little bit of everything. He was good at his job.
You know, we're fortunate to work with Craig Way, who's one of the best, and Ron was one of the best.
Absolutely.
Just a tremendous guy and tremendous person and broadcaster. And, you know, those voices are the the soundtrack in your head. I mean,
absolutely.
As an Oiler fan growing up, if you were in the Love You Blue era and that heyday, you remember Ron Franklin calling games and local sports, and then off to ESPN with many a football game and basketball game.
Many a great college game with Ron Franklin.
Rest in peace to Ron Franklin this morning, and prayers to his family as we start the program. It's a Wednesday on B&E. Can we get to the other headlines, including, speaking of cold, ice cold for the Longhorns late last night. Let's get to the Irwin Center. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start with the Longhorns. Yeah, extremely frustrating loss for the 23rd-ranked Longhorns last night at the FEC as they went ice-cold late and lost to Kansas State 66-65. Timmy Allen's layup with 3:32 left put the Horns up by 5, 65-60, but that became the last point Texas would score. Wildcats finished the game on a 6-0 run to take the win. Marcus Carr scored 19 of his season-high 25 in the second half for Texas, but his potential game winner with 2 seconds left rimmed out. Courtney Ramey also missed on a potential go-ahead jumper late. Texas missed its final 4 shots from the field. They dropped to 13-5 on the year, 3-3 in Big 12 play for head coach Chris Beard.
Yeah, the message doesn't change. I mean, this is life in the Big 12. After 6 games, we're 3-3. We just got to keep fighting. It's disappointing losing at home again in front of such a great crowd. This is year one. We're building this thing. A lot of work went into tonight, so I want to thank the fans again. I want to apologize for the outcome. I promise you our guys are trying hard to win at this level of competition. Nights like tonight happen, but I hope that everybody came to the game tonight. We'll come back. These guys need you most after disappointing games like this.
Oklahoma State next up for the Longhorns on Saturday. Busy night around the Big 12. Fifth-ranked Baylor went to Morgantown and beat West Virginia 77-68. Kansas survived a late scare from Oklahoma in Norman. Jayhawks, the seventh-ranked team in the country, beat the Sooners 67-64. And in Lubbock, it was 18th-ranked Texas Tech pulling away from Iowa State and winning 72-60. Texas football news, although there has been no formal announcement, it appears and is being reported now that former TCU head coach Gary Patterson has already begun working in his new role as a special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian. Patterson has been working at the football office since last week, received his key card and his official credential, and he was in attendance last night at the Texas basketball game alongside athletic director Chris Del Conte. Also from Texas football news, according to Horns 24/7, senior kicker Cameron Dicker did submit his name ahead of yesterday's deadline and has declared himself eligible for the NFL draft in April. Could have come back for a fifth season, but looks like he's off. The NFL does provide underclassmen entering the draft 3 days to change their mind. It becomes official on Friday. All indications, though, are that Dicker will stay in the draft. Texas did sign place kicker Will Stone from Austin Regents back in December as part of their 2022 recruiting class. Also signed punter Isaac Pearson back in 2021's class. The former Lake Travis Cavalier made 60 field goals over a 4-year career at Texas, which surpassed Phil Dawson's all-time mark of 59. And as we say, very sad news coming in this morning with a tweet from Mike Barnes, the legendary ESPN and Texas broadcaster Ron Franklin, has passed away at the age of 79.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yeah, a rough night for the Longhorns, Buck. Looked like they had it, or at least were in a good position to take it up 5 with 3.5 to play.
And, yeah, some crucial missed free throws, some missed shots, and Marcus Carr now, to me, has to be that guy. I know Coach would like to say on any given night they got a bunch of scores. I don't believe so. On any given night, Marcus Carr still needs to score in the high teens or in the mid-20s, Zay, I think, in order for this team, because it just doesn't have 3 or 4 scores. I mean, like, real-life scores. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, you played good defense, but I still need you to score 25 tonight, you know? I know you're a little tired playing that crazy D, but I need you to play some crazy O, too. Give me 25 tonight, please, somehow. He looks like the kind of guy now that the play like he played at Minnesota, like he can get his shot, he can score. He still plays defense well enough, and he needs to be the guy with the ball in his hand. I mean, I think if we sit around and wait to see if Ramey's going to be the guy, I think it'll be a long season, you know, game in, game out. Is he going to get it going? When will he get it going or whatever? It was tough going. And as I asked you, Zay, their coach coached it up last night, didn't he? He threw some different things at Texas.
Yeah, Bruce Weber was on point yesterday. I think he outcoached Coach Beard to the T. And you talk about Marcus Carr, you know, going crazy and then having that green light now and the confidence. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes with him not looking over his shoulder like he was before.
What is there to look over your shoulder for? Or
exactly.
Who?
But that's what Courtney Raymond and Andrew Jones are doing because you're playing Tristan Lacombe still. Oh, Ollie Lacombe. Basically call him Ollie from Hoosiers now. That's what I'm calling him, or Rudy.
You were on that the other day saying that,
yeah,
right?
I don't know if Coach Beard has like a under-the-table movie deal for Tristan Lacombe. It's a great story. Great story. The 4 minutes that he got last night were horrible. Look at his stat line. Zeros all around. I haven't seen his plus minus yet, but it can't be good. And it was at a weird point where Texas was up by 7-9, and Kansas State got confidence with Tristan Lacombe in the game. And he was the Texas Longhorn team overcommits to help for Tristan Lacombe because he's completely outmatched. The first play he got in the game, they go right at him. He was in the right position, but he just gets outmatched. They score on him. They have to overhelp. They're leaving guys open. They're giving guys confidence in the next second quarter. Just I don't understand what the tactic
are you,
is.
Are you
with
to the point
now.
Of live and die with the guys now? Even if they make some mistakes, if you're going to win or be in the thick of things.
You got to be because they're looking over their shoulder. Like Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey are constantly looking over their shoulder where if they make a defensive lapse or mistake or offensive mistake, then they feel like they're going to get taken out the game. And that hurts certain types of players. Not everybody ticks like that. One thing about Shaka Smart last year, he let you live with those mistakes. Those guys were playing 30 minutes every game. Matt Coleman playing 30 minutes every game, mistakes or not. So when you're looking over your shoulder and whatnot, it's not good. And I think that's what you saw last night. And I talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, Tristan Lacombe, the transfer from El Paso, who he's a graduate transfer. He's a walk-on, and he's out here getting minutes. And you know, the one thing that is consistent for Texas, at least for me, they didn't turn the ball over like they did last week. They had 11 turnovers in this game. It doesn't feel like, and to Zay's point of guys looking over their shoulder, it doesn't feel like they can get two guards hot at the same time. It seems like Andrew Jones has a big game, but Marcus Carr and Courtney Ramey don't. Ramey will have a big game. Last night it was Marcus Carr with 25, but Andrew Jones, who had been so hot the last couple games, you know, scored just 5 points and was 2 for 6. You know, to me, in college basketball, your backcourt has to drive it, and you need multiple guards who can fill it up. And put the ball in the basket. It, you know, at times Texas does. I mean, Andrew Jones is a good scorer. Marcus Carr is a good scorer, as you said.
Have one guy that does that on a night.
Not true. Andrew Jones did it the last two games.
Well, I'm just saying they don't have two guys that have that in the night. They don't have two guys with 22 points, 20.
I don't need 20 from both, but I need
why not
big nights from both. I mean, because they only play 40-minute basketball games, and then 20 points is a big number in college basketball. It's hard to get two guys to 20, especially if Timmy Allen's going to get his 15, which he did last night and played a strong game.
He's always he played another consistent game.
That's what you're going to get out of him. But
He is going to be that second guy, Zay, wouldn't you think? If one of your guards has a big night, it's got to be, and then Timmy Allen has a big night. That's the same as having two guards, right?
Yeah, he played really well last night. He missed two really big free throws.
He did.
But other than that, he had a really good game.
I just, you go back to Baylor's team a year ago where you had the guards in the backcourt. You got to have more than just one guy lighting it up from the backcourt. I don't know why they can't get Jones and Carr going in the same game, or Ramey and Jones going in the same game. And is this an identity thing for Texas basketball where they're trying to figure out who are the go-to guys? Because Marcus Carr was big last night. And you got to give the other team credit. Bruce Weber's team came in and won the final 3 minutes. I mean, Chris Beard talks with us each week about the four-minute game and the four-minute portions of games. Well, last night Texas was leading with five, in that final 4 minutes, up five comfortably, on their home floor. They would make free throws and make a couple of shots. They're going to win this game, and they didn't. I mean, you can't go the final 4 minutes of the game without a point and expect to win basketball games very often. It's one of those that, it looked like with 3:30 to play, we're going to come here talking about a Texas victory, and instead it was K-State that swooped in and took it, so we were kind of, looking at it with a microscope or a fine-tooth comb, which you got to finish the game. So you got to finish the basketball game, and as you say, give Bruce Weber credit for, making the right moves defensively in that closing stretch.
Yeah, they were taking advantage of every mismatch they had. And it was a really tough game for the Texas Longhorn team. I said that they had to win both games this week. This schedule is going to get brutal. They still haven't played Tech. They still haven't played Baylor. They still haven't played Kansas. And they got to play those teams twice. So
got to go on the road, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and one thing this team was living off of was their home success. So now that they lost to Kansas State, it's just – They got to get this roster right. They got to get the rotations right. And I'm going to continue to say you can't play Ollie Lacone.
Ollie Lacone. Seems like a good guy. I saw an interview with him last night on LHN.
Yeah, fun story. He has a black eye and stuff. Chris Beard loves when you get black eyes and your teeth broke and stuff. I guess that gets you more minutes. I don't know.
Well, we'll talk to Chris Beard on Friday and ask him those questions. Of course, it'll be ahead of a big home game with Iowa State. Longhorns 3-3 now in the Big 12. And
Iowa State bounces. Iowa State got bounced. Texas Tech, who played all those games last week, got themselves right.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as they said it, I mean, this is a brutal conference. We know that. And Texas has not really hit the meat of their Big 12 schedule. You know, last night wrapped up there. They've already finished their home-and-home with K-State. They'll finish their home-and-home with Oklahoma State on Saturday. But the, you know, the top teams in the conference are still to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the Longhorns are struggling with the bottom. But, you know, that's kind of the Big 12. Everyone is struggling. Kansas nearly lost to Oklahoma last night.
And Kansas play like a bunch of junkyard dogs. Generally, to me, they're a good, solid, finesse-looking team, but they play like junkyard dogs last night.
Well, that's a Bill
Self team.
Diving
on the floor, doing, I mean, generally, they're just better.
Well, and, you know, that Kansas game at Norman, I mean, Kansas should beat Oklahoma, the 2-4 team in the Big 12, but, you know, it was 62-all, kid hits a big three. That became the ball game. You know, Texas up five and didn't hit shots down the stretch. As much as we can be frustrated with some of it, you got to make buckets. You got to put the ball in the basket late in a basketball game. Longhorns didn't, and that'll be a costly loss down the run for the Longhorns. So we'll continue to talk about it. Marcus Carr with a big night. He's loose now. 25.
He's loose, and he's getting his shot, and he's taking his shot. You know,
yeah,
well, he looks like he's at that point, Zay, of I got to get mine. In order for this team to be close in games, I have to get mine. You know?
Yeah, one of the bright spots about Tristan Lacone and Avery Benson coming in the game this past weekend against Iowa State was it let Marcus Lacar say, okay, I know I can't pass it to you fools, so I'm going to take this shot because coach can't say nothing to me. Look who we have in the game. And that got him going and carried it over to Tuesday night against Kansas State. Yeah.
Well, they got, as they said, and you said, Buck, they got to figure out the rotation here because Dylan Dessou played to 7 minutes last night. The youngster out of Pflugerville, Vanderbilt transfer. And look, let's be fair. These are all new players playing together in big spots, trying to find their roles. Dessou just started at the end of December, but he feels like a guy that needs to be more of a presence for Texas. He only played 7 minutes last night. Timmy Allen, Trey Mitchell had a bit of an off night, just 11 minutes. And that's what you're trying to figure out. And we'll talk to Chris Beard about it on Friday with our weekly visit.
I believe the team has too many good athletes and too many good players that – I don't need to be reaching, as I said with Craig yesterday morning, you don't need to be reaching a crescendo, but you do have to win. There's games that you have to win. Or when you go on the road in this conference day, you can get beat by any of these teams now. It doesn't matter who you're playing with. You can get beat by every single team that you play on the road.
Anybody.
Yes.
Any given night, everybody's good. Every single team is good. The team at the end of the Big 12 just beat you. So what does that say to this conference and what you got moving forward?
Yeah, well, that team just beat Texas Tech, too, on Saturday. So that's the point. The top is as good as the bottom, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Not a lot of separation, and that's what the 18-game heavyweight, 18-round heavyweight fight that Chris Beard calls it will continue to be. Oklahoma State coming up. And I mentioned, you know, you got to cover Cameron Dicker as a kicker at Lake Travis. Looks like he's entered the draft. We were waiting on that decision. Monday was the deadline to file your paperwork, submit your name, make yourself draft eligible. And according to Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7, that did happen. He did get his name in the – and that surprised some people. There were those close to the program that thought he was going to be coming back for his fifth season at Texas. But it looks like he is on his way to the National Football League, or at least being professional.
I know about the kid, but I don't know enough about the position itself. I mean, do you come back and does it make you better to come back, or do you go – I mean, a 40-yarder is a 40-yarder. The goalposts are a little bit thinner, but – you go make your money while you can make your money. And now you've got full time of just kicking. That's what you do for a living. Hey, what are you doing at practice day? I'm just kicking. I'm just over here at the field just kicking.
Well, and we've seen, you know, some great kickers from this university go on. And, gosh, Justin Tucker's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Another all-pro season for Tucker from Westlake, of course. Phil Dawson, who just took the job over to Hyde Park.
He may be a better pro than he is a college kicker, Dicker.
Well,
you know, I mean, that's,
he has
that's
the leg.
Seen. Oh, there's no doubt.
He's got some inconsistency to him, but he leaves this program as its all-time leading field goal kicker, one of its most points scored in the NA Texas career. And
yeah, I don't know how to tell a kicker to stay or go. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know enough.
Because kicker's not likely to get drafted. I mean, you may get drafted with somebody might take a third day pick and draft Cameron Dicker to secure him, but same time you just got to find yourself onto a roster and make kicks.
And get rid of the guy who's there. That's what you do.
And again, for Cameron, he did a great job punting this year too.
I didn't expect that. I thought he was carrying both. I thought he was just going to be good enough to hit a couple 35-yard punts for you and get you out of some trouble at times because you don't have a punter and your punter will return. Guy was one of the leading punters. Or the leading punter in the Big 12 and one of the best in the nation in punting, which is very surprising, which means he did a lot of work in that area.
Well, he can do, I'm assuming he'll get invited to the combine. I'm assuming he can, get to know these teams and then get some individual workouts. Will he be a kicker? Somebody texting that says he'll be a punter in the NFL. Well, he might be, but he's going to be a professional specialist. I think that's fair to say with his overall talent.
I know one thing about him. He's an athlete. He's not just that guy who kicks.
He's a soccer player, too.
Yeah,
he's
like Phil Dawson. He's one of those guys would like to go down on the kickoffs and make the hit if he could.
Yeah, well,
he's that kind of player.
And as we say, Texas had planned for it. They signed Will Stone, and maybe they knew something. Steve Sarkisian, they gave a scholarship to the kid from Regents here back in December. He is on scholarship, and they signed a punter last year who will be, part of the 2021 class, Isaac Pearson. So those two likely to be the leading contenders to be the specialist.
Someone just said, as a Cowboys fan, I'll take Dicker right now.
Over Greg the Leg? Greg the Leg Zuerlein, yeah.
No, I don't know about that. That guy Zuerlein's been in the league for a long, long time. There's probably a little different pressure kicking ball in the NFL.
Oh, for sure. But
the extra points are field goals.
But as you said, it's kicking.
It's kicking. You're right.
It's place kicking.
Hey, go over there and kick.
Bang it through.
Yeah, just bang it through. That's your job.
Our friend Phil Dawson, 21 years he did that. How long is Justin
amazing.
Tucker going to kick? I mean, gosh, the guy's heading straight
to the game. So they drag him off the field.
At the Baltimore Ravens. And Michael Dixon with the Seattle Seahawks still punting at a Pro Bowl level and doing his thing. So, kicking, go get it, Cameron. Make it happen.
Yes.
And then Gary Patterson, there he was at the game last night, and I was anticipating there'd be some type of announcement or maybe even a press conference. Doesn't appear that's going to happen at this point. Gary Patterson just going to work.
If you got a card, then you're in.
And Gary Patterson's got a key card now.
Okay.
He's got a key card. He doesn't have to have the helper come open the door for him in the mornings, but Gary Patterson showing up every day at the facility and was at the basketball game last night. By all appearances, he has accepted that position as the special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian. What his actual role is, we have not been informed of, but we knew what the job posting was.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through that, so Gary Patterson appears to be a Longhorn at this point. Hard to find another avenue of him showing up to work every day. Unless it's some kind of trial run, I don't know. But at the same time, no formal announcement from the university at this point. We will follow that story. And
I see that the Seattle Seahawks have fired Ken Norton Jr.
as their defensive
coordinator, and one of his assistants, the passing game defensive coordinator, has gone too. And I'm still thinking either Pete Carroll is gone or Russell Wilson is gone. I don't think both those guys return next year.
Well, they fell on hard times, but they play in a brutal division. We know that. I mean, Seattle finished the season with a win over Arizona. When Russell Wilson played, they were a contender. When he didn't play, with Geno Smith, wasn't much to, much, especially in that division where you're facing three teams who made the playoffs and, a couple of them still playing.
And I know they were terrible. Their secondary was terrible, but
yes.
But that defense for the last 2 years has really, really struggled. And part of that is because Russell Wilson's offense hadn't been able to run the football. You're talking about a team that's gotten guys hurt, and it's at the running back position where Russell Wilson really needs to have, he's not just a guy who can drop back, and you can't go bootlegs and all that stuff if you're not able to run the ball. Ian, for the last 2 years, his running backs have gotten hurt and missed numerous games.
A lot of holes on that team. And that's what Russell Wilson, I think, complained about a little bit last year.
But you got to do that for their fan base. You don't ever want to lose what you got going on in Seattle,
Yeah.
You have to make moves, and you going to the Super Bowl and then winning a Super Bowl, that's just, they're getting to the point, that's not enough, we need to get back.
Yeah, well, they've got offensive line issues, running back issues, defense is changing over. I think with the Ken Norton decision, that would indicate that Pete Carroll will be back. If you're going to make a change or he was going to walk.
He would be gone too.
It probably would have happened by now.
Because he's a defensive guy himself.
But the reports did come out over the weekend that Russell Wilson would like to explore all of his options this offseason, which You know, where are they? Some in Seattle suggest, approaching his mid-30s, Russell Wilson, you get a lot for him. Could you fill some holes and rebuild, but you got to find who your next quarterback is if you're going that direction. I think there's a lot of teams in this league that love to get a hold of a talent like Russell Wilson.
For sure.
Heck, Cowboys might be willing to trade Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson, but I don't think Seattle would make that trade at this point. We'll be back. That's just getting warmed up. Those are your lead stories. We'll continue to discuss them in the other news of the morning. Start looking forward to divisional playoff weekend and looking forward to the cold temperatures that are coming here in the next 24 hours. Get you ready for that. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Well, you went uptown. Texter says, Dicker the kicker scored the deciding points in the last win over OU. Legend. That is true. As a freshman, Cameron Dicker did bang it through. 48-45, Texas beats the Sooners in the Cotton Bowl. And went on for three more quality seasons at Texas. Looks like he's off to the NFL, part of the Texas football conversation.
You know, I may be wrong. I don't recall him losing a game for Texas.
He missed some kicks.
Key, like, we need this to actually win the game. I mean, he doesn't miss those kind. I've seen him miss ones where I get on when I get on the radio and say, dude, just make that. It's 38 yards. Come on. Stop that.
Yeah.
You should be able to put that through in your sleep. It's not about your leg. It's that you pushed it to the right or you hooked one. Cool. I mean, go over to the extra field over there and kick.
Well, with kickers, it's kind of like you and your gold star lock picks. All you want is consistency.
And I'm right now consistent.
You are red hot, baby.
Yeah, well,
I'm like the Justin Tucker of gold star locks.
I've made one change that I don't know if it's smart or not, but I've got my three.
Today
but I've been very scared to.
These are hard picks this week. I mean, if you go 3-0 this week, you're either extremely lucky or very, very talented. Because this is a hard week of football.
I'm going to go very talented if I go 2 of 3.
If you go 2-1, this is a hard week.
2-1 is going to be good, right?
Vegas is telling you these are dead even games. I mean, they're just, you're putting your money on it. Go ahead. But anything can happen when you've got teams of this quality.
I've got one person straight up who's followed me through the hot streak, and they're loving it.
Oh, they're running with you?
Yeah, they're running with me. I may get one of those watches like I've fallen down and they need to call somebody special.
Oh, nice. Life alert?
Yes, the
Apple Watch?
The Apple Watch. Like, okay, he's fallen out of a tree at his house.
So they're taking your picks and making a bankroll.
Yes.
I love this. Well, good for you. Good for them, by the way. That's a way to run with your 14-1 in your last 15 picks. And since today is your Friday, because you're going to be out the next couple days on your way to Pennsylvania.
I'm going from the cold to the cold.
To the cold earth.
But I'm going to treat today as if this is a beach day.
Yeah, you should. It's going to be almost 80 degrees.
Gosh.
But much colder tomorrow. But, so NFL, we'll get into these games. But that's the thing. When Vegas says three of the four games are three-point lines and the home team's getting three, that just tells you they're dead even. And that makes sense. I mean, these are great coaches, great quarterbacks. Quality teams that don't have a lot of holes. When we say the riffraff was cleaned out over the weekend.
Including the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, the pretenders. I think all the teams left are contenders. I can't foresee Cincinnati winning a Super Bowl.
Still too young.
I really can't. I still think they've got some issues and still too young. But other than that, the other seven teams, I think you can make a strong case they could win the Super Bowl. Tennessee Titans getting Derrick Henry back in a week off at home, home field. You know, they've got Ryan Tannehill, who's probably the lowest rated of the remaining quarterbacks, but they do have home field.
But then they got gutsy defense, though, too.
They do, and they have the home field advantage all the way through. Everything goes through Nashville. Kansas City and Buffalo, absolutely, with Josh Allen, and we know Patrick Mahomes, they can win the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, you got the GOAT, you got Matt Stafford and an ultra-talented Rams team, you have Aaron Rodgers, as the number one seed in home field, and San Francisco 49ers have been good as anybody down the stretch here.
Like you said yesterday, they've been playing in playoff games all for the last four games.
Yeah, everything they've done in December was, if they lose, they're not going to make the playoffs. If they hadn't come from 17-3 down in the final week to beat the Rams, they wouldn't have made the playoffs, and here they are. And we know the 49ers were just in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago with Kyle Shanahan, so they can get there, absolutely. So that's fun football this weekend, and high-quality football, I would anticipate. We didn't see that this weekend. We saw a couple of games go to the wire in Arlington and in Cincinnati, but the other four were blowouts. mismatches, really. I think the mismatches are over, my friend. I don't see.
Yeah, and you know, for the people there, they just want perfection in the playoffs. Or, well, maybe not perfection. They want really, really good games. We didn't get a lot of good games, but more football is good for me. I love it. More teams that have a chance. Wild card. I like it. I don't, you know, if you get blowouts, you get blowouts. Just be with the right team. Just hope your team isn't one of those teams. Or if you're one of your teams makes the wild card weekend, that they play their best game of the whole year. Because if not, you are going to get blowouts when you're playing the teams that are just better than you are.
Yeah, I mean.
But why is more football bad? Don't watch it. If you don't, I mean, I hear more people bitch about it. I'm like, well, don't watch the games.
Yeah, well, exactly.
There's other things to do on the weekends you could do. If you think, well, this is going to be junk, I'm not going to watch it, do something else.
Yeah. That led to a conversation from some of why when we see now, because of course they expanded the playoffs by one team, right? They added a seventh team. Was that necessary? We know it was all done for revenue. It adds another TV game and a third, you know, wild card game on wild card weekend in each conference. I get it.
I just have never heard people get so upset about more football. That generally, it's like, why is the football season over? What are we going
to
do?
Well, and that led to people saying, this is why we don't need to expand the college football playoff, that four is enough. I would argue, I'm with you, more football, the better. More games that count, the better. And, of course, they would be expanding it for inclusion of other conferences,
right,
but also for more TV dollars. I mean, that would be, you know, what they're looking for is the bowl games become more and more minimized. The more playoff games you have that are part of a tournament and a single elimination, you know, structure, the more revenue there'll be, because as we know, TV still drives the bus here on these deals. And my only argument to the college football folks who say we don't need expansion, the way that they, at least when we left the summer, when they were talking about the 12 teams, it would have been the 5 through the 12 seeds playing in the first weekend, right? You'd have the top four, like we would get a week off.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 would play 12 and 6 would play 11 and on down as kind of a play-in to the Elite Eight, essentially. And, you know, to me, that avoids what we saw. Because what we see in the NFL is that a team that was a 2 seed in years past that would have had a week off, like Kansas City, Tampa Bay. I mean, these are teams that would have been off in the previous, you know, setup without the 7th team. Well, they're now playing, and they're playing a 7th seed that, you know, barely snuck in, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and had to have a lot of things go their way, and some would say were pretenders and didn't belong. And in the other case, it was Philadelphia, who, you know, probably didn't measure up. So those were mismatches. There's no doubt about that. But in the college football example, I think the way they were structuring that was pretty smart. I mean, how much better is the 5 seed versus the 12 seed in college football? That's what we play for. There could be some blowouts. There could be some one-sided games.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're playing 5-12, not and the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds, the best teams all year, aren't actually playing on that first weekend. I like that structure, but I do understand folks saying we don't need 12. But I think the way they were setting it up was pretty sharp. I think that was going to lead to
some good
football.
I'm still good with
8. Yeah, but then you'd have what the NFL has. Then you wouldn't have a bye week. You'd have, you know, 1 playing 8, and you know, if that's Alabama playing, you know, number 8 team in the country, that might be a one-sided football game. I kind of like the idea of the 5th seed, who's trying to fight their way into the playoff, having to beat a 12 seed who might be able to beat them, you know, a champion out of mm-hmm. the Sun Belt or a champion out of the Mountain West Conference playing, you know, the 3rd team in the SEC or whatever.
Or any conference versus the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, I think those would lead to better games than what we saw in the NFL this year. And we'll see if this year was only the second year of the 7th playoff team in each conference. You know, do we get these blowouts annually now? Has it just become common in the NFL? I don't know, because I know.
I think when you're playing 17 games, yeah, you're going to figure that out. It's going to end up being the really good teams. By the time if they're decent during the regular season, they're going to beat the last place. They're going to beat them. They should most of the time. I don't know about blowouts, but it's almost going to be. They're not going to be very many field goal games. They're going to be 10 or more points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's. Yet to be seen. Was this a one-year thing? As we said in our B&E Fact of the Day yesterday, the last time there were 3 20- or more-point games in the first round of a playoffs, it was all the way back in 1982. I mean, so this isn't like this has happened a bunch. But
if it keeps being the Eagles and somebody versus, like, Tampa, it's going to be.
Well, I think that 2-7 matchup will continue to be a mismatch.
Sure.
I think that's only, you know, that stands to reason. Well, the reason this weekend was kind of disappointing for some is the other two turned into blowouts.
Right.
You know, who expected Buffalo to boat race New England the way that they did? And then, you know, there were just one-sided games. And that's there were four games that were really they weren't competitive. And that's I'm sure the NFL doesn't love that, but guess what? That's going to lead to this weekend where
absolutely.
We just said flip a coin. A couple plays,
3-point lines,
here or there.
Home field advantage is just, they're just giving field goals, that's it.
Yeah. But I'm still for college football playoff expansion. I think I'm with you, more football the better, more
yeah,
games
but it's
count,
just more inclusion into this by the little guy getting an opportunity.
Right.
Is okay.
And, look, I think for the good of college football, whether they're going to be good games or not, they've got to make this a more national sport, nationwide sport. Right now it's being dominated by a tiny part of the country in the deep south.
Right.
Where Alabama and Clemson and Georgia and LSU and I mean that's the dominant force in college football. That still may be the case, but when teams from the Pac-12 and teams from you know the West and the Midwest are not even getting in, I mean they're not even getting a chance. That eliminates that potential you know fan base. That eliminates you know TV sets where people kind of tune out. 12 would bring them back to the table and at least get them involved in the tournament.
And then especially if you're one of your main goals is making money.
Well, yeah. I mean, and TV's, we know ESPN, whether it's good or bad, is pushing for this. They
absolutely.
Would like to have those games.
They want money.
Because they'd have, you know, a weekend in December that would be the 5 versus, you know, the 5 to 12 seeds mm-hmm. at that first round. And then they'd have a second weekend, then they'd have a third and a fourth. I mean, they'd have four big weekends of, you know, high-level college football all the way to a championship. It'd be a tournament, much like March Madness, right? It's kind of where they're angling for. We'll take your thoughts on that. Pro football, Dak Prescott has apologized. We'll let you know what the Cowboys quarterback had to say last night on a string of tweets about his comments after the first frustrating Cowboys loss. We'll also get to that B&E fact of the day for this Tuesday as we roll on. It's B&E, live, local, and digital. First, it's Craig Way.
Minor Foods, you're on the way. Less to pay, everyday store. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn, B&E with you, ahead of an Arctic blast that's coming the next 3 days. So be ready. This time tomorrow, you could be dealing with some wintry conditions as far as the roadways go. And you're going to be making a trip to the airport about this time tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. Just get me to Chi-Town, because once you get to Chi-Town, you're good to go, because that's what they're used to this time of the year.
Blood pressure's already rising, thinking about having to drive to work at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning if there's ice on the ground. There could be. That's the forecast. It's going to be almost 80 degrees today, but tonight, this evening, and into the overnight, the Arctic blast will hit throughout the area. There could be like a light mist, and this is the worst case, right? It's kind of that light, sleety, wintry mix mess thing that you know hits the roads, and then we'll see. Then there's a couple of even colder air masses coming beyond that on Friday and into Saturday, but be advised tomorrow.
Well, I definitely was at work yesterday taking off. I had a couple hoses hooked up for some parts that I was watering, not for you know just the irrigation system I have in, but you know some spots where I can't get to. That were on walls and things like that. So I unhooked those babies and capped them up, because it is going to be cold enough for those things to freeze up. If you think you can leave those hoses on for the next 4 days, that's a no-go. You're asking for something to bust up.
Yeah, be advised. It's coming. It's the hardest thing, obviously.
And nothing wrong with dripping a little water at night.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Well, certainly on Friday into Saturday, you got temperatures down into the teens overnight, and really cold, bitterly cold conditions here for Central Texas coming your way. But the good thing is, once you get to Friday and Saturday, the precipitation is supposed
yes.
to be gone, supposed to be very dry. The only chance you'll get for some road mess and you know freezing precipitation would be Thursday and tonight into tomorrow. So be advised of that as you're getting ready for your we get you up over the hump as we do here on the Horn.
You know what? Let me say good morning to those folks that work at HEB. HEB is an incredible company. I mean, they've been fabulous in the state of Texas, and it just surprises me that they're not in, you know, sort of like, as I said, like Kroger's, it's all kind of getting all over the country. We're very fortunate. The management at HEB must be something really, really special. I've talked to a couple people here since this COVID stuff has started, that the management at HEB is taking care of a lot of people. I talked to a lady you know, where I was trying to bag the bagger years ago when I was single.
Yeah.
And she had told me that she had lost her, I think she had lost her father, and her son was in an accident, and her son was really, really hurt really badly. And HEB told her, the management at HEB said, you go and take off for 3 weeks. We're going to give you all your pay, and we're going to take care of all the arrangements. And if you need more time off, we'll take care of you. And that came from the top. And I've heard numerous stories about HEB and what they do for their employees. I mean, what a company. They have been incredible. And they've been on the silence about what they've done during COVID, from what I hear, of what they've done for their workers. Their management does well enough, but just for the workers of HEB when they've had some hard times. So that's a big, you know, I don't get to do the buck ons tomorrow. So that's a big buck on for me to have a company like that that just is just rolling on and making sure their people are taken care of.
Now, they do take care of their folks. There's no question. It's a great company. It's a treasure for the state of Texas.
It really is.
I know when you travel to parts of the state.
And, oh, my God. Or different states.
And there's not an HEB. You're like, oh, man, where's my HEB? This is an unpaid.
Yeah, and I found myself doing that, you know, and I've got certain groceries.
You go to Dallas. You can't find an HEB. You got to go to, like, the Kroger's.
I think I think HEB is starting to make a move towards Dallas.
I'm sure they will. But they're a great company and great people for sure.
Wow.
Remember, they had a plan in place for the pandemic before everybody else. They had drilled it. That's why they were so quick on the uptake of how to handle it and keep the food flowing for people and keep their employees as safe as possible. They had drilled that and planned ahead for a potential situation like we've dealt with the last 2 years with COVID. And, of course, last year during the ice storm here in February of last year, they were tremendous. And they're always looking to help Central Texans and their employees at HEB. So
great
an early
here.
Buck on.
Yes.
Early buck off, which we'll do again tomorrow, to Dak Prescott. And I'll say props to Dak Prescott for at least apologizing for his comments. We talked about it, and it wasn't a big part of the story.
Hopefully he didn't need anybody to get in his ear and say, Dak, you need to do this. It sounds like he did it.
Having heard Dak comments live, as I mentioned, listening to the postgame show here on the Horn after the Cowboys, you know, beyond frustrating loss to the 49ers, and Dak Prescott, you know, credited fans who were throwing things at officials, debris and trash and bottles at officials as they left the field on Sunday. Dak Prescott, in a series of tweets last night, doubled back and apologized for his comments and said, I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in high regard.
And he didn't say stuff like they were taken out of context. He just said, I was wrong. And he has a lot of respect for the officials.
Well, there's no way to take it out of context. Because, again, having heard it live, he was asked originally about fans. What do you make of the fans throwing things onto the field? Dak immediately criticized the fans. He says, we love our fans, we love our support, but you can't do that.
But then they said, or was that the officials?
And then someone pointed out that it looked like they were throwing it at the officials, to which he said, well, credit to them then. So, you know, doubled back, and because he was frustrated with the official, mainly the 14 penalties, but also the official that ran into him and maybe in his mind prevented them getting that ball spiked and all that went on in that final 14 seconds. Out of frustration, he said, well, in that case, credit to them because they were throwing it at the officials, which he's had to apologize for. We'll get into the Cowboys. Obviously, you know, it's been an ad nauseum conversation the last couple days, but we now look forward to let you know who the free agents are for the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about their salary cap situation. Cowboys now got to look forward to the offseason, their coaching staff, which coordinators do they keep, and which players can they bring back and should they bring back. They've got some key free agents, Buck.
Or do they ever.
They're already over the salary cap projected for next year. They're going to have to do some capology, as they call it, to make this happen. We'll let you know who the key guys are. There are some key ones for sure on both sides of the football for your Dallas Cowboys. We'll get into that. We'll also look forward to the divisional weekend. And, yeah, get back into this disappointing Longhorn basketball loss last night. It was certainly that as the Horns went cold in the final 3.5 minutes of the game with K-State, and they lose. We'll get you details here from Chris Beard coming up. Horns fall to 3-3 in Big 12 play. The latest on that next here on B&E.